And we want to welcome you all to Harmony Church to celebrate the life of my Uncle Jake, a wonderful person, a faithful deacon here. Loved him very much. We're going to miss him, but this is going to be a celebration. We're going to celebrate his life and remember some of the wonderful things that he has done and the many lives that he has touched. He wanted myself and his nephew, George Fuller, to conduct these services, and I'm honored to have this part with Brother George. So at this time, we're going to ask him to come forward.
Hello. First, I'm going to read the obituary, and it's long. Robert Earl Jacobs, at age 94, went to be with his Lord and Savior on Thursday, November 15th. Jake, as he was known, also Pop and Papaw, and Robert Earl when Addie wanted his attention. That's how he was known by his family and friends. He was born in Nashville, Arkansas on May 20th, 1924, to the late, is it Nona? Noni? Good. And Dovey Talent Jacobs. He graduated from Central High School outside of Malvern in 1942, where he was a star basketball player. He joined the Air Force in August of 1942 and served in the South Pacific during World War II. After proudly serving his country on many Pacific islands, he returned home in 1945 and married the love of his life, Addie Lou Fuller of Donelson, Arkansas. He enrolled at Henderson State Teachers College in Arkadelphia before attending pharmacy school at the College of Ozarks, Clarksville, Arkansas, from 46 to 49. It was the first post-World War II graduating pharmacy class at the College of Ozarks, and that was before UAMS established the pharmacy school in Little Rock. While attending pharmacy school, he played point guard for Coach Coon's Mountaineers. He was honored to be one of the five Ironmen playing with basketball greats Gail Condart. Did I get it right? Okay. Charlie Ruffini, I understood, he's Italian, so that's how I remembered that. And Bob Barlolin, okay, I'm not good help. And Lester Ledbetter. In 1949, they were co-champions of the AIC and played in the NAIA National Basketball Championship Tournament. The team rode the train from Arkansas to Denver, Colorado for the tournament. Jacob practiced pharmacy in El Dorado, Searcy, Arkadelphia, Arkansas, also in Midland, Texas, before opening Fuller Walgreen Drug Store in Longview, Texas in 1957, where he lived with his family for 15 years. He was very active in the community and loved coaching Little League Baseball. Living in Texas in the old Southwest Conference, as an avid Razorback fan, was not easy. But Jake was a true fan. In 1972, he moved to Gurdon to join his brother-in-law, Roy Thomerson, at Thomerson Drug. Jake practiced pharmacy for over 65 years. He was a member of the Arkansas Pharmacy Association and the half-century club of the UAMS College of Pharmacy. As an avid golfer, he made several hole-in-ones in his lifetime and could still shoot his age at 88. That's one of my favorite things to tell about my Uncle Jake, shot his age at 88. One of the greatest joys in his life was playing golf with Roy at the Red Martin Country Club in Gurdon. At the age of 90, he played in his last golf tournament in Gurdon with his buddies Jim Russell and Lyman Rhodes. Their combined ages totaled 258 years. They shot two over par, proving that old dogs could still hunt. The super seniors were an inspiration to all participants. He was a deacon and active member of the Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This was always his and Atzie's church family. Jake was a quiet, unassuming, and deeply caring man. He always said he was so quiet because he could not get a word in anyway with the Fuller family in the room. I actually heard that one several times growing up. He adored Atzie and his entire family. He was a man of great integrity, with complete honesty, and a humble but very strong spirit. He encouraged everyone and gently demanded excellence in education in his family. He was always there with wise counsel, a warm hug, and a gentle heart for anyone who needed help. He had a great sense of humor and a smile that would light up a room. We could always depend on Jake. The third son, George Fuller, Hiram and Hildred's son, grew up with Atsy and Jake. They were both very proud of George and the spiritual support he gave them. The family would especially like to thank Larry Thomerson, Roy and Louise's son, his nephew, for watching over Jake and being like a son to him. Special thanks to the Thomerson Drugstore family, the members of the Gurdon Senior Center, his golfing buddies, Dolores Rutherford, who was his caregiver at the end and became family, the staff, the Twin Rivers Rehabilitation Center, and his church family for caring so much for him. He always felt very blessed. He's preceded in death by his parents, his wife of 54 years, Addie Lou Fuller Jacobs, brother Gerald Jacobs, sister Emma Jane Sullivan. Survivors include his son, Dr. Gary R. Jacobs. It's Gary Robert Jacobs. Okay, and his wife, Rosemary of Longview, Richard Fuller Jacobs, and his wife, Penny, Little Rock, Arkansas, and Dr. George Hiram Fuller, Jr., and his wife, Tammy, of Raleigh, North Carolina. Grandchildren, Dr. Tamara Maynard, her husband, Tony, of Houston, Texas, Ben Jacobs, his wife, Christy, of New York City, Josh Jacobs, and his wife, Lauren, of Tyler, Texas, and Robert Jacobs of Little Rock, Arkansas. Great-grandchildren, Abby and Emma Norwood, Gwyneth Atsy and Saul Jacobs, and one on the way there, and sister Nellie Jo Reynolds, Dallas, plus a large extended family, wonderful friends, and church family members. Amen. Well done on that. That was... When someone lives 94 years and someone tells you you have 20 minutes, just sympathy is all I'm asking for. We're going to... And then I started to edit down to say of just a few things, and I decided I would say more things fast. Are you ready? All right. I believe Uncle Jake's story is a love story. I don't know him outside of his love for Atsy and how their love for each other created a home that gave me a home away from home, and I saw it resonate all around them. But I know it came from somewhere. So Uncle Jake was born in Nashville. Some of you were part of his growing up years, and I would just like to say, well done. You taught a man to have character. You taught somebody to serve his country. He served in World War II. He told the Lord if he got back, he would never go back, and he didn't, even though we offered to pay his way, and he didn't. When he served in the Air Force, he left his family. He always was longing to come back, and when he came back, he began his family. One of the words I would say Uncle Jake lived out is fidelity. Fidelity means this: faithfulness to person, cause, or belief demonstrated by continuing loyal support. I saw that in every aspect of his life. You could start with basketball. He really defended the game of basketball, and he didn't like the fact that people don't play defense, block out, and shoot free throws anymore. And so but basketball is a big deal. I played better basketball because Uncle Jake showed me how. He was also loyal to the Razorbacks, which, as you know, is not always easy. Maybe one reason he didn't stick around is there wasn't anything to watch this year. Anyway, we were around when Texas got beat 14-13. No offense, Gary. And they ended up in the national championship game in 1964 in the Cotton Bowl. And this little boy got taken there. I sat in a tree and watched the Cotton Bowl parade, and I'm a Razorback ever since. Dick told a story about when he came back from the game, they had burned some of his friends burned the letters UT in his front yard. He was mad because they might have burned the house down. Atsy laughed. But anyway. And then there was the pharmacy. I watched him on many occasions make sure somebody had the drugs they needed, even if they couldn't pay the money he was intended to be paid. He did that in Longview, and he did it in Gurdon. He did it for 65 years. He was faithful. He was a man of integrity in the midst of his profession. He also coached baseball, and when my dad went to Vietnam the second time, when we lived with him the second time, I arrived in the middle of the baseball season. I'd been playing baseball where we were living before. When I arrived, I had a place on a baseball team in Longview, Texas, and I pitched that night. It was a big deal to have your uncle be your coach when you cried at night where no one was looking because you thought your dad might die. He was coaching. He also played golf. Heard he had hole in ones. That's because he said if you keep knocking it that way, eventually it goes in, sometimes on the first shot. But his best part of his game was putting. And if you ask why is he putt, he narrowed it down, right? What was it? Direction and distance. It was still frustrating that he putted better than everybody. But he loved his kids. Dick, Gary, Roe Penny, all the grandkids, the great-grandkids. He thought y'all were awesome. I think you were awesome, but I'm not objective. So share it. That's just the truth. Tomorrow, Ben, Josh, and Robert were stories all the time, updates, pictures. I would note that in their living room and hallway, the pictures of me disappeared as they were born and grew up. And that's the way it should be. That's the way generations go. Tamara was the only girl, and that made her special because she was also the first. And that was good. And Robert was his roommate. I think that's awesome. And they had a tradition of going out every Wednesday to eat. And that's one of the many things I was jealous of the family that got to stay, because my family were the ones who left. You know, military took us away. Abby and Emma and now Gwyneth and Saul are on the stories. When I would call Uncle Jake every week or so and talk to him, it was mostly that and anything new in Gurdon. So it was mostly that, because there wasn't much new in Gurdon. He loved education. In fact, when I got my doctorate, he was glad I finished my education. And he expected excellence in education from all of us kids. And he said to me what I understand he also said to Dick and to Gary, and that is, you can be anything you want, even if it's a ditch digger, but you're going to be the best educated ditch digger out there. He did love us, his family. I would just like to say that Uncle Jake gave a presence that said so much more than words. I remember one night I was really down because we had gone 2 weeks without a letter from my dad and no phone call, and he was in Vietnam, and I was in eighth grade, and you're not supposed to cry and whimper a lot when you're a Fuller. But he caught on. I was having a rough time, and I went back to my room, and he followed me back there, and he sat down. And he said, "You know, we're gonna be there for you no matter what's going on, no matter what happens." I like that he didn't say, "Don't worry, nobody dies in war. You know, your dad could never die." He just said, "I didn't have to worry about it because he would be there," and that is the kind of presence he was for all of us. You could face off with anything, and you knew he would be with us through it. I remember when Dick and Gary became doctors, and all the stories around that. He just was so proud. But I can tell you, he's more proud of who you are, and not just the accomplishments that you made. I would say he's known for love. He's known for family. He's known for wisdom. He's known for honesty. He's known to be an encourager. Many of you have been encouraged by him in word and deed. And one thing Uncle Jake was all the time was grateful. He had a sense of just every time what was ever going around, we got a lot to be thankful for, George. We got a lot to be thankful for. I remember playing knee football, him saying we'd be okay, and Atsy thinking we were killing each other when we were playing knee football in the house. I remember orange sherbet every night at 9 o'clock when I was living with him. I remember breakfast fixed the same way every time. I remember squirrel hunting. I remember the big debate between Uncle Roy and Jake on whether Rusty or Red was a better squirrel dog. And I think Red was, but that's because I mostly listened to Jake's side of that story. But I also think Uncle Roy and Uncle Jake were a great duo. I think they did a lot of living together, a lot of growing, and a lot of wisdom passed on and love passed on through them. And Larry and Martha were very special to me growing up, too. I remember him sitting and reading the paper and then telling me why I ought to stay informed. Yeah, anyway, I won't say more about that. I remember green cowboy hats for the Lobo football. And by the way, the Lobos won big time last night in the state playoffs in East Texas. Did I do pretty good? I'm coming down for the landing. I think I got through the list except for a couple of stories. I think Uncle Jake as I was talking to the whole family, when he found out what you were capable of, he expected you to do that. And then to do what you needed to grow beyond that. And if you were just doing what you could do, that was enough. I think that's a degree of fairness and wisdom that's rare. I think a lot of people just try to push people to something that's not consistent with who they are and what they do. And I really appreciated that. And the truth is that Dick and Gary and our family reached things not because he pushed us, but because he encouraged and expected us to live up to our potential. I think that's what love does. And one of the reasons I'm able to trust the love of God is because I was able to trust the love of my Uncle Jake. And that is very precious to me. He did have a sense of humor, so I thought I'd end up with there were stories you could go. But just not too long ago, when he was on his way towards not being able to get around and do what he wanted, he asked Dick when the next duck season was, when it started, and it was November 17th, today. And Dick said, "No, Dad, you're not going to mess up my duck season." And Uncle Jake said, "We'll see." So right before they started him on the morphine drip, Uncle Jake asked Dick, "When's duck season start?" And he says, "Saturday." And Uncle Jake said, "Gotcha." Yeah. He did have a sense of humor. There come times when you walk in the room or you walk into the presence of someone and something and you know it's love. The family I'm part of today did that for me in so many ways. And Atsy and Jake were the ones that made it happen. I had so much anxiety in my world. I bounced around the world, you know, moving 19 times before I got out of high school. But when I walked into the presence of this family and Jake and Atsy, I knew I was loved. And I'm glad to know that on the other side of messing up the opening day of duck season, Uncle Jake has fully walked in to the full, pure presence of love. And he'll recognize it because he's been living there all along. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for Uncle Jake. I thank you for Pop. I thank you for Papaw. I thank you for Robert Earl. I thank you because I know you were dwelling within him in ways that he knew and ways that he didn't know. You were with him in times he noticed, and you were with him in times he didn't. You were with him in times we noticed when he didn't. You were there, working, in your grace, in your mystery, in your spirit, and we thank you. And we're gathered here to say that we're grateful for his life and how his life impacted ours. 94 years he walked this earth. Now he has you. Now he has Atsy. Now he has those on the other side. And we'll miss him. But the reason we'll miss him is because of who he was to us and who you were in his life. I thank you that he loved you and he loved this church. I thank you that his faithfulness is something we can emulate because not only will his memory help us, but your spirit will also indeed help us. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother George. For the record, I was not the one that gave George 20 minutes, but I was given an hour and a half. No, we're glad you're all here to celebrate Uncle Jake. Thankful to see all of our family members, church members, some of my friends from Henderson I hadn't seen in a long time. I know they were surprised to see that I was alive, much less a preacher. But now we're all in church together, so it's good to see all you guys and family and to be here to celebrate Uncle Jake. We celebrate the life of a wonderful person. I know what Brother George meant when he was trying to get everything in there. How do you get it all in, the life of a person, in just a few minutes? The obituary was beautiful. But I know I wrote my father's obituary just a few months ago, and as I was writing it, I thought, how am I going to cram everything in this little paper that my father meant to me, that he meant to people around him, and the love that he shared? There's no way to do it. But it was a beautiful obituary, and I did ask George to read it, by the way, so he did a good job. Well, good to be here. We're going to celebrate Uncle Jake's life this morning. He was to me an uncle, a friend, and a faithful deacon that served with me here. I knew them a long time, my whole life, and I read something about him the other day the other day that reminded me about him. It said, a man is a success who has lived well, laughed often, and loved much. And I thought that reminds me of Uncle Jake. We can surely say that he lived well, laughed often, and loved much in his life. We saw him do it. We did it with him. And it was a wonderful thing to serve with him here in this church. And that's where I got to know him best, as pastor of Harmony Church, where we served together here for many, many years. And I want to say I appreciate his faithful labors as a deacon here. I often thought about him and other men that served in this church, about their faithfulness and what it meant to me. When I came along finally and visited this church, I wanted to thank them, and I did, for the labors that they bestowed upon the Lord and his people here, that it was here when I came along. And that meant so much to me. I thanked him for it. And when I think about his labors, I know that the Lord is well pleased with that. Our church was constituted around 1909. And since that time, some of our family members have been involved in the service of this church, either as pastors or deacons. And I think that's a blessing that God gave us, the testimony to that, and I appreciate it every day. Men who will serve the Lord and his people in this capacity are very rare in this day. When I preach a funeral, I always try to think about a particular verse of scripture that would fit that person. And so what came to my mind for Uncle Jake was Revelation 14:13. And here's what it says. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. He is today resting from his labors. But I believe we can see that his works are following him. We see an adoring family. We see a thankful church that he faithfully served. And we see the character that he built in his sons, his grandchildren, and all the people around him. It's true that his works do follow him. Today we celebrate his life, and we are at peace knowing that Uncle Jake is with the Lord and with Aunt Atsy and all of God's family. But you know, when somebody we love dies, they really are still with us. Even though they're not physically with us, they live in our hearts. One person said, to live in hearts we leave behind is not to die. We will always remember him. We loved him, and many things he's done that I want to share with you today. He touched the lives of many people in a very wonderful way. Many, many people. I was reading about his military service and the many places that he traveled. Must have been a pretty big deal to go all those places when just coming from Donelson in this area. But I noticed in his, Dick wrote his memoirs, and reading that, he said that when they finally got to a place that they could stop and read some letters, he had 55 letters to read and respond to. Now that's a lot of people's lives that you touch when they take the time to write letters. Unless they were all from Aunt Atsy. I'm not sure. But anyway, he did have a lot of letters and people to correspond with even when he was away. I love the way that his travels ended as Dick concluded the remarks. And I quote, he said, got to finally get to Donelson to see Addie. From then on, everything was great and went great. Thank my Lord. So from then on, it was smooth sailing when he got home to the love of his life. His faith was somewhat quiet at times. He wasn't the kind of person that would come up to you and twist your arm about something that he believed in. But he would say things from time to time that you knew what he believed. I would play golf with him a lot. And by the way, when I played golf with him, it was a lot of fun. He really got me involved in golf. And when we'd have a visiting preacher come to be with us, he would have us all out to the gray, we'd play golf, and he'd always pay for it. One of the interesting things that I always noticed about golf is when I played with him, we'd get at the end of a hole, and I'd look at the scorecard, and he always gave me a better score than what I really had. So he was always very generous, but I don't think he was that way to everybody he played with. So it was always good to play with him and see him play. You know, he played golf till he was 92. 92 years old, he played golf, as George read. And the score was, I can't get that score today. I'm playing over my age. But he played golf till he was 92, was very active. What a blessing that had to be in his life. One of the things he used to say to me all the time when we'd be playing golf, and he wanted to make a point, and this has to do with his faith. He would say, "My God doesn't work like that." Or he would say, "My God wouldn't like that." Or, "My God wouldn't do that." He used the term "my God" a lot. And after I was around him a lot and he made a lot of those comments, I recognized that his God was my God, because we agreed on the things that he talked about. He loved the doctrines of grace. He loved the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, the election of his people, that God chose his people in Christ unconditionally before the world began, about the preservation of the saints. And I remember sometimes when we come to church, my family would tell me what they wanted me to preach. Sometimes Aunt Louise especially, if she brought somebody to church, she'd say, "I brought so-and-so to church today, and I want you to preach what we believe today." Okay, that's my favorite subject anyway. But I love that about them. They love the truth, they love the Lord, and we love to worship together. When I was talking about him being a faithful deacon, this morning I was thinking about 1 Timothy 3 and 8 that talks about the work of a deacon. It says, "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things." And as I read that, I thought he fulfilled all of those categories. He was every bit of that to our church. He loved his family very much, as George mentioned. Every Sunday morning, I got a report on the family. I would hear about all the grandkids, what they did. He would tell me something about them. Robert did this. Josh did that. Tomorrow did this. Ben was here. George did this. Every now and then, he'd mention Dick and Gary. But I got to hear about everybody and keep up with them every Sunday morning. He was really involved in their lives. We did share a lot of things about sports. He was a great basketball player, as George mentioned. And he loved to talk about basketball, about his team, about the games he played, the points he scored, and it was always good to hear all of that. For this funeral, I did something very special for Uncle Jake. I sent out an email to our membership, and I asked each person if they would write something that they remembered about Uncle Jake, or that they wanted to say to Uncle Jake, and email it or give it to me at the funeral. So I've got a few of those, and I want to read these to you. I think they're very important, that you can see the lives that he touched in our church. I'll be brief, but I've got several. I'm not going to read all of them because I got so many. But these are wonderful statements and a testimony to Uncle Jake. Here's one. "As I heard the news and later read the detailed obituary of Brother Jake's life, it was a comfort to learn more of his history. When we first met Brother Jake and Sister Addie in the year 2000, they both welcomed our family into their church home. As years passed and Brother Jake lost his beloved wife, his grace and faith in our Lord was an example for me when trials came our way. When a sudden loss hit our own family, Brother Jake was there each Sunday to mentor not only me, but was a support for me in helping our daughters mourn the loss of their father. As I gave the sad news of Brother Jake's passing, it brought back all the memories of his sweetness to each of them. His encouragement for their continued education and his advice as our oldest daughter moved to Midland, Texas upon completion of her master's degree. Much I will miss of him, especially his voice singing loudly in the pew in front of ours, a voice that strengthened in song as his body was weakening with age, another example for us as we live our own lives. I love you, Brother Jake. I've always loved the kindness that Uncle Jake showed to others. He had a servant's heart. He was one of the best greeters in church, and when he couldn't stand up to greet, he sat on the back pew by the door to make sure he was able to speak to everyone that came in. He was always sporting a smile and a kind word that just made you feel good. I know he's at heaven's door now with even a bigger smile. Uncle Jake took a moment to pull me aside just a few weeks ago with tears in his eyes and say, "Sometimes I wonder why God has left me here on this earth so long. But when I saw those two daughters of yours being baptized, I got at least part of the answer. It is a great blessing to see that there are young people who love the Lord and His church and want to be a part of it. This church was a great blessing in my life, and I pray it will be for theirs as well." Dear Neil, it is with deep sorrow to hear of our dear Uncle Jake's departure, but a true joy that he is now with the Lord and seeing his precious Addie. He will be remembered as a true, loving friend and brother in Christ who faithfully wrote to us over a period of 17 years. His letters of encouragement, Bible scriptures, and assurance of his prayers for our whole family will be greatly missed. 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8 so perfectly describes our Uncle Jake. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Uncle Jake, as I knew him, was a remarkable man. There isn't one particular instance that stands out for me about him, but rather the sum of all my interactions with him. He had a way to make you feel special. At least I felt like he always took a special interest in me. This was not only with Aunt Atsy, but also afterwards. He stayed resilient, even to the last of his days. He seemed to really know how to live his life, kindling relationships and enjoying quality times. He holds a special place in my heart, and I feel privileged to be a part of his wonderful life. When my wife was ill, she sat at the back of the church during communion with me in a wheelchair. Brother Jake saw us in the back and took care of us. I will always remember Brother Jake as a kind-hearted person who always thought of others. My time's not up. Two more. I got to read these. Dear Brother Jake, it is with heavy hearts but great memories we, your brothers and sisters at Harmony Church, say goodbye to you, at least in this world. You were one of the first, if not the first person, to arrive at church on Sunday morning, come rain or shine. The rest of us arriving one at a time, or family by family, we always looked for your car in its usual place. If it wasn't there, we would start asking, "Where is Brother Jake? Is he sick, visiting a son?" Your dedication to being in the Lord's house each time the doors were open was a standard for us all to strive for. I always want to thank you for your giving spirit. Many members may not realize, but you kept this church and supplies for many, many years without accepting a penny in compensation. First, you and your sweet Addie took this task on you. After Addie's death, you continued on by yourself. It wasn't until well after you turned 90 that you told me, "I think maybe it's time I passed," and he did consider it an honor to someone else. Thank you, Brother Jake, for all you did for this church and by being a role model for all of us to live by. Dear Brother Jake, it is with tears in my eyes and a very deep sadness I write this to you. I will always remember you through my children's eyes. In passing one day, I mentioned your name, and my daughter said, "Is that the man who looks like Colonel Sanders?" I smiled to myself and said, "Yes." From then on, you were known to them as Colonel Sanders. They didn't realize you were a perfect Southern gentleman. You were kind, caring, sweet, and always considerate of others. I know of none more dedicated to this church and all the members in it than you. I will miss your sweet smile and good hugs. I will always remember Brother Jake as a strong, friendly, humble, and most faithful church to his church, Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. He came to church when most people would have stayed home. He was determined to walk up those steps when he could have used the elevator. I remember how he and Atsy were the model married couple. He had to sample all of her new recipes, and there were many, at least two a day. I was really impressed by his basketball history I read in his obituary. I didn't know that about him. I would have loved to have seen him play, as I'm a big basketball fan. I look forward to seeing he and Atsy in heaven. Okay. One more. Look, I'm reading about Uncle Jake. When I think of you, it is your kindness, love, and faithfulness. You are such a great example of a follower of Christ. Your kindness to others was shown in your great smile, your kind voice, and the interest you showed in the lives of others, young and old. Your love for your family and friends was evident in your face and voice, as well as how you shared your special loving stories of your wonderful life. The thing I admired most about you was your faith in the Lord and Savior. You are a wonderful example of a Christian journey through this life and a faithful member and deacon of Harmony Church for many years. I will miss your warm, loving hugs. I'll give these to the family after the service today, and I think I've got about an hour left. And so, now we want to thank you all for coming. What more can we say? We could continue to talk about Uncle Jake and the many lives that he touched. I wanted to read every one of those because, I mean, this is the day we remember him. And I wanted everybody to hear all of that about him and know what a wonderful person that he was. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to celebrate the life of such a wonderful person, a great example to us, a lover of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the family that's here, for each person that's come to celebrate his life. We pray that you would help us to be better people ourselves as we look at his life and the example that he set. We know he is with you at this time rejoicing. We look forward to that day when Jesus Christ returns that we'll all be gathered together and we'll rejoice. We pray that you'd be with each person in the family as they return to their respective homes. Bless them with safe travels. Watch over us in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.